Cast.com. Call the show now at 623-242-CAST. That's 623-242-2278. Now, shut up, sit down, and listen to the damn show.
It is the Gabcast. Hi, everybody. I'm MV. Redacted's here. Hi, Redacted.
Hey.
Jesmunda.
Hey.
Well, that doesn't sound very energetic. It's not what I expect. And the Mud King, otherwise known as Curtis. He's here.
What's going on?
Hi, Coitus.
Hey.
Do you mean Coitus?
I don't know how to react to that. Are you coming on to me?
What do you think about sex, Mr. Lebowski?
Coitus? Anyway, yeah. If you want to be on the show, the number to call is 623-242-CAST. It is 623-242-CAST. Do either of you remember the fax number? I don't remember the number.
Ooh.
No, I don't. That was on the last episode.
Yeah, I'm gonna just pull that up here really quickly because I would like to be able to receive faxes. I feel like that could easily become a hallmark of this broadcast. Is the fax line. Let's see. Yeah. Okay, the fax number. Well, I hope I'm not reading the sender's fax number here. I don't know.
Either way.
Okay.
We're prepared, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, I don't know. Someone will dig that up. I thought that we had that in the... that was in the Skype history from last week or something. It's got to be somewhere. I think that... I'm pretty sure this is the number. Okay, 206-415-4585. That's 206-415-4585. If you want to call, if you want to fax the show. And again, the number to call 623-242-CAST. It is 623-242-2278. What do you say we go ahead and take it? You might want to... caller, please turn down your speakers there.
I thought that we had that in the...
Yeah. Caller? Hello?
Hello.
Hi. Who's this?
Hit fan.
Oh, what's going on, man?
Oh, I just wanted to... I've always listened to your show while I vacuumed the apartment, and I've always wanted to ask this question, hear you guys talk about the following. Basically, Art Bell versus George Norrie. One, you have Art Bell, who's extremely talented and unique, but he's a very unreliable personality, mm-hmm. Whereas George Norrie is very mediocre, but he's reliable. He shows up to work every day and doesn't threaten retirement after being on the show for a month. So I just thought I'd throw that out there.
What's your opinion? What is your analysis of that?
I find Art Bell extremely entertaining, and I listen to all his reruns, but it's a bit frustrating because he comes back on the air and he finds something wrong, right? With Sirius, for example, after 6 weeks later, he just dropped everything. So,
did you agree at all with Art's reasons behind the Sirius departure?
Not 100%, no. I think I've seen it happen before where he comes back and then he goes away. So to me, it seemed a little bit flaky.
You thought it was par for the course, did you?
Yeah, I wasn't surprised that he left.
Well, sir, on this show, we're all Art Bell fans, so you take your little complaints and you push that red button on your phone and go to hell.
No, I'm just kidding. That's actually a good question. I mean, it does beg the question in a syndicated network broadcasting endeavor, what's more important, reliability and stability or someone who actually knows how to do a show?
Hey, you got to put up with talent, man. Talent is finicky, and that's just been a rule and a law in show business ever since show business was a thing. So, yeah, talent, they're, you know, pissy. They're prima donnas. They can be assholes. They could be work troopers. You don't know what you're going to get, but you deal with it and you put up with it because they're talented.
Wow, Redacted, all those mean things you just said about Art, I can't believe what I've heard on this show already. We're only about 8 minutes in. All the critiques.
Hey,
I'm
bringing the shock factor tonight, all right?
I think that...
Boom.
I mean, okay. There was the first time Art left. That was his kid. And then there was his back after that. And then, gosh, I kind of lost track. But, I mean, I guess he had his reasons every time he quit. And, really something none of us can really know or render an opinion on, at least an opinion that's of any value, is the stuff that was going on behind the scenes at Premier Radio Networks that none of us will ever know about. And I'm sure there's a lot of that stuff. But it does beg the question, what is more important to a nationally syndicated radio show, reliability or the fact that it's an entertaining broadcast? I mean, everybody knows there's no way ever, ever in hell that George Norrie is ever going to come close to Art Bell's 1990s numbers of something on the order of like 15 million listeners per week, which, yes, there is the analysis that could say, well, it's impossible anyway, no matter what kind of a show George does, no matter what kind of a host he is, because we have such a vast sea of media options available to us today. But the fact that we're all sitting here doing this show, I think, is evidence of that in itself, that there are just so many options in terms of things that people have available to them, in many, if not most cases, free of charge, that it would be impossible for somebody to approach Art's meteoric rise of the 1990s. On the other hand, there are some very specific reasons that people could point to with regard to how Coast to Coast AM as a show is delivered and packaged that could easily point to the reason that the numbers suck, at least according to what it is that we all know about the numbers, at least. I mean, I don't know how much specificity there really is out there as far as what Coast's numbers are these days, because usually that stuff, as far as I know, I mean, even when I was working in radio, we never really knew how many listeners we had. I never knew how many people were hearing my voice when I cracked the mic. And I was working for I've worked for three different radio stations. Never once did I have clue one how many people are hearing me when I cracked the mic. And on one of those stations, I did news for 3 years, the biggest station between St. Louis and Memphis, which is not saying much, I know. But still, I mean, you know, and every time you crack the mic and you're doing news or whatever you're doing, and you just got no idea how many people are listening to you. So I think it's probably a bit of a stretch to say that any of us would really know what Coast's numbers are. But, and I used to be of the philosophy that it would be rather unlikely for Art to make any form of a return, because I couldn't imagine who would have him after all of the departures. Agree or disagree with those reasons for each departure. Nevertheless, the departures occurred, and then the Sirius XM thing on top of it. And that was my opinion before the Sirius XM thing happened. But all of that, just forget all of that for a moment and boil it all down to this nucleus, which is the fact that we're talking about a guy that regularly hosted and built from the ground up, by the way, in the 1990s, a radio show that had 15 million listeners per week.
At a time when people used to just put basically the lowest end stuff out there, he actually built an audience and made it a destination.
On his own. I mean, just from the thin air, this guy built an empire. If that's why I'm saying this. I retract what I said before, and I totally believe that any broadcast entity out there that wants a good overnight talk show would be insane not to put a piece of paper in front of Art and have him sign it. Whatever your concerns might be as the executive who hands that piece of paper to Art with regard to his stability or whether he's going to return, whether he's going to do what it is that you expect him to do. I mean, you can contractually obligate people so that you don't have these concerns. That's what a contract does. It gets you certainty. And that could all be addressed. But I think Art totally could work just about anywhere he wants to, even in 2015.
Yeah, I was definitely worried after the Sirius XM that we might see some reason come up that Art wasn't going to be back on the air. But the way he stuck with it over the last month, I'll say, has really made me feel that this is real this time and it's worth getting excited about. And I'll use Art's own words to answer a Hit Fan's question. Art in the forum today reiterated something he said several times before, in that I have said that if George Knapp was the full-time guy, I would stay retired because the show would be in good hands. And that, to me, that answers whether or not you would want the consistency and mediocrity of George Norrie versus the excitement of Art Bell or somebody who really was interested and cared about the topic they're talking about.
I just don't accept this idea that Knapp in place obviates the need for Art Bell. I don't buy that at all. I'm not saying you're saying that. I'm saying Art Bell's saying that.
Well, yeah, I think he trusts him is the key, and that he actually cares about the topics that he talks about versus spewing out corporate speak just to make sure the commercials are sold and able to continue.
Yeah, I get all that, but is it just me or is Knapp? I find him incredibly boring.
Well, he doesn't have the personality that Art has, and I never listen to Coast to Coast for anyone else but Art.
Exactly. Yeah. That's And I never care. I've said it a gazillion times, I know, but I never cared about the genre enough to sit and listen to it, regardless of who it's hosted, just so that I could have myself plugged into this content that I can't get elsewhere. It was Art that was the reason I tuned into the show. We got a caller, by the way. Did you want to say something, Curtis?
I was going to say, I would listen to Dan Aykroyd talk about this for hours in the middle of the night if he wanted to.
Well, that's Dan Aykroyd, though. I mean, we all have...
Yeah, we want to hear the man himself.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
We all have our associations, like, you know, Dan Aykroyd, holy shit, that's awesome. Yeah, I would listen to Dan Aykroyd talking about that. But that's Dan Aykroyd. I mean, we know him prior to any engagement he would have in talking about paranormal stuff on the radio, prior to him being some sort of possible future host of a radio show. I mean, we already know and or like Dan Aykroyd. So right. You would associate with him with those things that you already know and like him for, as opposed to just some radio host that you don't know from a hole in the ground that you just stumble upon and suddenly you're hooked. And there's an intangible magic there that I think Art severely underestimates when he says, if Knapp were here, I would just march into the sunset and enjoy my retirement. Let's go ahead and take this call. Hi, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, this is Robert Wisconsin. How are you guys?
Hi there. I'm great. How are you, sir?
Good. I was just calling. This is the first time I've been able to listen live, and I just wanted to take a moment to tell you guys how much I enjoy the show. And on past shows, you've mentioned how you don't get many calls. So I wanted to take the opportunity to call and tell you that I really do enjoy the show and all you guys do. It's very much appreciated.
But?
No, but.
Well, I thought you were going to tell me you're having sex with my wife or something.
No. Well, he doesn't really want to talk about it on the air.
Shirley, you're going to tell me you're much better endowed than me. My wife is much happier now. Something, I can't believe that's where this call ends. I just, no, seriously, thank you, sir. That's really nice of you to call in and say. And I'm also curious as to your opinion on what the first caller asked us. On the one hand, you have the reliability and the stability of George Norrie. But on the other hand, you have in Art Bell, a host that is actually competent and knows how to do, and is actually interested in these subjects and knows how to do a good show. So what is it that makes either one more or less important for, Premier Radio Networks?
I'll tell you something. My poop is real reliable, but I don't want to sit and stare at it every day either.
Point taken, sir, and have a nice evening.
Probably the most intelligent thing said on this episode so far, and maybe for the whole time.
Well, that hurts, Curtis. I've been flapping my face here for 20 minutes, and to hear you say that, I don't know what to do.
He is sensitive. He's fragile, man.
I'm sorry. Michael, you are like you're a mainstay, or like what was said in one of the threads, I think, for the Gabcast, you are a god amongst us here, so what I was talking about does not count for you.
You know, when another man is pounding your wife in your bed and glaring up every 15 seconds at your Art Bell fax machine, the last thing you need is Curtis attacking you on the show. That's just the last thing a man can endure.
Yeah. He only does that to people he loves.
That's true.
So if you want to call the show tonight, and thank you again for that call just now. I forgot your name, but It was appreciated. And the number to call if you'd like to be on the show is 623-242-CAST. It is 623-242-CAST. And there are a number of changes in store with regard to how it is we are going to deliver this show to you in the very near future. As has been alluded to recently, Curtis and I are going to start doing the spec sheet again. I have assurances from Curtis that he will do the show for a period exceeding 6 weeks. Beyond that, we have no idea what that means. But I've received assurances. That's all I can say.
Did you get my fax non-compete for those 6 weeks? Because I did send it to you.
I'd rather hash all of that out in private, Curtis.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Not sure this is the venue. But we're going to bring back the spec sheet. Curtis is in a place in his life right now. I don't want to speak for you, but I mean, it's my observation. And you're in a place where you can do this and it's going to be fun for you. It's not going to be a burden. And that's 90% of it. Like, if that's why Eddie Dean got sick of this show, because it was a burden for him. I mean, he told me that, like, he would actually feel anxiety leading into the show. I think he even said, like, days in advance, he would just feel anxiety and butterflies in his stomach. And I don't even think it was like stage fright or anything of that sort. It was just the whole package of all of this shit and everything that you deal with. And you don't know what the show is going to be like until you actually get into it. And so he just kind of got sick of it. It wasn't fun for him anymore. And that's why he quit. And that is 1,000% a great reason to quit. Because if you're sitting in front of your mic doing this, you're not getting paid. You're not going to get famous. There's not really a whole lot on the upside here in terms of why you would sit in front of a microphone and do this. So if you can't even extract some fun out of it, that's totally a great reason to quit. And I think, Curtis, you're in a great place right now where we can start doing the spec sheet again. We're going to do it every week. We're not going to promise a particular day of the week, but we are going to work it out so that we average 4 shows a month. Let's say it like that, right?
Yes. And you just made me feel really great about the investment that I just put into making sure I'm able to do that on a reliable and good basis.
Yeah, at this point, Curtis has spent a lot of money on all of this audio equipment, so he's sort of in for a penny, in for a pound. I mean, if he goes through all of this that he's gone through in terms of the audio equipment he's purchased, and then he doesn't stick with the spec sheet, I really do believe that he will have spousal problems, I would imagine.
Yeah, just don't tell my wife how much I've spent up to this point.
Does your
point.
Wife have any clue about all this crap you've bought recently?
Let's go ahead and pretend like she does.
So you are invoking your right not to self-incriminate. Okay. All right. Exactly. We have our answer. So we're going to start doing the spec sheet, which is a podcast about technology. There are a lot of new people listening to this show who have no clue what the spec sheet is. It's a podcast about technology that Curtis and I used to do every week. And I enjoy doing that show probably 1,000% more than I've ever enjoyed doing any other podcast I've ever done. Because it's drama-free, number one. Like, there's a lot of drama associated with doing this show. first of all, you're dealing with jizzbag personalities that are from the forum that you don't like.
I thought you were going to say me.
Well, I think that goes without saying.
That wouldn't work out really well then. Never mind.
But there's just a lot of drama associated with it. You know, the bullshit people post in the chat room. And most of it, like the people who give me a hard time, I think 90% of the time it's because of some decision I made in the course of running the forum. And so there's just a lot of the drama that's attached to doing this show sucks. And there's none of that that comes along with doing the spec sheet. Curtis and I just, over the course of a week, we just gather together this aggregation of news stories that we've seen, and we lay it all out and talk about these stories and render our opinions and observations and deliver analysis, and it's a lot of fun because it doesn't involve any of these personalities that either don't like you or that you don't like or any of that stuff, and that's a big component of why I so greatly enjoyed doing the spec sheet and hated to see it go. But then at the same time, when the show ended, there was nothing for me to do. I've got all this equipment sitting here, and there was nothing for me to do. So that's why I started doing the Gabcast again. And I'm going to continue doing it, but I don't know. Curtis, you want to talk about I guess, the changes that we've got in store for how this is all going to work. You seem to be captaining and piloting this this whole endeavor.
I don't know about that. I just wanted to be sure that we kind of planned it out.
Our ships must sail in the same direction.
Well, the thing is that the Gabcast is a really fun podcast, too, to do, because you just show up and talk about the forum, not being a day-to-day administrator or being focused on all the other parts of Belgab that you mentioned before. It's really easy for the rest of us to show up and just talk about what is interesting to us. So what we're going to do moving forward is the Gabcast is going to be on every other week rather than every week. And it's going to be more of just an open-ended, fun conversation, like we've always done, except probably a little more loose in how we do things, and make it just a live-only event. So there's not going to be a podcast to download most of the time for it. If there's some reason that we see that we want to add a download for it, then we will. But most of the time it's going to be a join us and be a part of it in the moment in the chat room or call in. Because we'll still take calls and then transition from there to doing once a month a podcast that we've talked about several times in the past. If you have paid attention on Threads, you've heard us talk about Bell Files, which will be a podcast delving into past episodes of Art Bell's topics he's gone through, guests, calls that are iconic to all of us who are fans, and talk about the experience. We're not going to focus on trying to dissect the guest or the topic in some way to decide what was right or wrong, but more what was the experience like as a fan of art on these past shows and building up towards when the new show launches, and then recap those once we get to that point. Do you guys want to throw anything else out there in that?
Well, I've just received a fax, and I'd like to share it with the listening audience. It reads, 9/11 was an inside job. It's just the fax, F-A-X. Also, MV, that's me, equals, and then there's a there's a picture of a penis and balls. Also fax, it says after that. And then below it says, Jasmunda is an Australian horse fucker jizz bag.
I can now see why you don't want to do the Gabcast anymore.
Then below it says truth, facts, F-A-C-T-S, and then facts, F-A-X. So thank you to our listening audience. You just continue to make it such a pleasure to deliver this broadcast to you
on a regular basis. Well, if you think about it, a trend has started. Every fax so far has had a cock and balls on it. So maybe that should just, be the new stamp of official facts to Gabcast. Make sure you draw a little or big penis and balls on there.
I wonder how many penises Art received over the years.
That would be an awesome question.
Let's draw them small, please. I don't need my self-image shattered with every fax I receive, please.
Just saying.
I don't know who sent that. I hope it's Pale Horse who...
It was a green hippo.
Pale Horse is the guy who on Belgab asserts that 9/11 was an inside job, that the buildings were brought down by thermite, and I'm sure he also believes that it was a missile that hit the Pentagon, and... He called me, or us, I guess specifically me, a coward because we didn't do a show last week. But you'll notice that in the run-up to what was suspected to be an upcoming show last week, he kept his mouth closed in the run-up to that show. He didn't post anything. He didn't make any references to 9/11. He was, I don't know, just conspicuously absent from the forum. And, there you go. It's another Tuesday. Here we are actually doing the show today. Where is he? I'm going to have to go look and see when he logged in last.
Well, I've already offered free hugs to him because I'm worried for him that maybe he's taking a little too personal.
I don't see anything in the Gabcast thread from him, but he was sure quick on the draw when it was announced that we weren't going to do a show last week. He was right in front of his keyboard after that was announced, wasn't he? So, we'll see if he makes the call this week. I would be more than happy to debate 9/11 with you right here in front of all of these people. I guess it's a good thing Onan's not here tonight, because I think if he has a headache or whatever it is that's caused him not really to feel like doing the show tonight, I think that would just sort of evolve into an aneurysm if we were to discuss 9/11 in his presence, because I know he totally finds that entirely uninteresting. But yeah, what are you going
to
do?
If there's going to be a debate, we need to keep it to where he gives his three best reasons for why 9/11 was truly an inside job, and then you debate those three. And if you feel the need to come back with your own three facts, do so. But to let it become an open-ended rambling dissertation on either side of it, that wouldn't be nearly as exciting. Unless you guys scream at each other, then I would just shut up and throw the rules out the door.
Well, if he calls, what I want to do is just let him say what he wants to say, and then I'll say what I want to say. And then he can say what he wants to say. Then I'll say what I want to say. We'll just go back and forth and have a conversation. I'm not going to shout anybody down, contrary to what people might suspect to be the case or expect to be the case, particularly after the show 2 weeks ago when I lost my shit. But no, I will entirely give equal time. I will not hang up on anybody so as to prevent them from saying what they want to say or anything of the sort. I'm more than happy to discuss it, and I'm not a 9/11 expert. If we do wind up having this conversation during the show tonight, I want to preface everything by saying I am not a 9/11 expert. I just think that there are enough scientific holes and logical holes that can be punched in the entire theory that should give any truther or believer pause. And that's it.
I would point out... Go ahead.
Well, I just think the overwhelming body of evidence is on the side of the official story. That is not to say that there aren't things that we don't know. I'm sure there are. I'd like to know why there's no video footage, with the exception of a shitty 1 frame per second or 2 frame per second security camera of the Pentagon. I'd like to know. I mean, you're telling me the Pentagon, with these hundreds of cameras that surely must comprise its security system, all the cameras that are owned and operated by businesses all over the area, I just can't believe that that is the only video that's been released. And I think that the government does the entire story of 9/11 a great disservice in not releasing that stuff, because it does nothing but breed this sort of doubt in what it is that we've been told is the official story of 9/11.
Really quick, Aldous says Pale Horse did send that fax.
So he won't call in, but he'll send faxes with penis pics. Okay.
Well, and he might be calling in. There's still...
he was conspicuously silent in the lead up to the show today.
I don't know. I think you're going to have a Pale Horse in your future there, Michael.
We'll see what happens. I don't know.
I will be fair.
I will be fair. I will be polite. And I'm sure that... in another universe, Pale Horse and I, maybe we could be best friends. As a matter of fact, my best friend is a big-time 9/11 truther idiot. I mean, my best friend, I would donate a kidney to him if he needed it. That's how, by the way, that's how I decide if you're actually a friend or not. I ask, will I give this guy a kidney if he ever needs one? And if I can't answer no to that, then you go into the acquaintance stack. Curtis, I'm sorry you're out of luck.
Well, you know, being a ginger, I don't need kidneys. I don't run on them.
And Jasmunda, you're screwed, because I'm not giving a kidney to anybody who's more than 1,000 miles away. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I don't accept alcohol-pickled kidneys anyway.
And Redacted's out, because I just don't like her microphone. It leaves a little to be desired, I will say.
So we've got one person on the list so far.
Yes, just my friend Ryan. He gets a kidney, and he's a big-time 9/11 truther. And so, I mean, I guess my point again is that I suppose in another universe, if Pale Horse and I were to meet in different circumstances, we could get along wonderfully. But the only thing I know about the people that I encounter is what they choose to show me, what they type. And so that's...
Or draw a picture.
Oh, yeah, or the pictures they send me. So what am I to do? I can't look deeply into someone's soul and say, well, despite the horseshit opinions he appears to have on 9/11, I'm sure he has a wonderful soul. I can't say that. I mean, I don't know anybody. Hi, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi there. Who's this?
This is Vegas I-15 from the Forum.
Oh, hi there.
I was hoping
you'd actually wind up calling. I'm glad to see you did.
I did. I heard you guys talking about Dave and versus Art Bell. And, you know, Art Bell is such a talent. He's Hall of Fame radio talent. I mean, who wouldn't want him on your network, you know?
That's why I think that even despite his retirements, despite the instances of him quitting the show, I have no doubt that, especially considering the state of terrestrial radio today, I mean, go around the dial. What is there to listen to? Who wouldn't want to employ Art Bell?
Yeah, I mean, Wolfman Jack's not around anymore. All these great talents of the past. I mean, Art Bell is like one of the last remaining, I would say, classic radio talents that is still available. I mean, George Norrie does not even compare. I mean, granted, he's there every single day, but he gets a pretty nice paycheck, and he gets okay ratings still. I see on the Talkers magazine, he is tied for sixth in total listeners.
Can you tell us who the top five are?
Yeah, let me see that here. The top five, number one is Rush Limbaugh. He gets approximately 13.25 million listeners a week.
Wow, that's dropped.
This is kind of surprising, although he is very popular. Sean Hannity is number two.
I don't understand that.
I know he has 12.5 million.
I don't get that. I mean, he delivers the most vapid, like, there's no substance to Sean Hannity's radio show. All I hear are, like, regurgitations of conservative philosophies that I've been hearing Rush say for 20 years.
But have you ever heard him debate?
He's got a big audience that will lap that up, though.
Well, why? I mean, like, if I listen to Rush's show, at least I'll come away knowing what in the hell's going on. I mean, I may not agree with his analysis of what's going on, but I will know what's happening throughout the political landscape, at least in terms of the biggest stories out there at that moment. And I know there are alternative news sites and news hosts. Michael, you don't get the real information listening to Rush. I mean, if you think that's the... I'm not saying that he is the only source one should turn to for political information. I'm simply saying that relative to a Sean Hannity, I think we're talking about two entirely different leagues as broadcasters go. For the life of me, I can't understand Hannity's success.
I would assume that the people that are listening to him, he's preaching to the choir, so to speak.
Hannity?
So, yeah, Hannity. So the people that are listening, they just want to lap it up and continue to lap it up and just hear it over and over and over again.
There's got to be a component of that here.
That's the only explanation that fits. I spent about a half an hour listening to him, and it was the most torturous half hour of my life.
Like, even if you agree with Hannity's overall philosophy, I just feel like you come away from that experience without any meat and potatoes attached to it. Like, there's nothing really substantive you can glean from the Sean Hannity show that's going to arm you in any way in terms of having information about what's occurring in American politics.
Like, who's number three?
And number three is actually Dave Ramsey with 8.25 million listeners. He's actually pretty good if you listen to him. He's actually entertaining, but he's a finance guy. So if you're into finance and like to listen to somebody, Dave Ramsey does make it somewhat interesting, and the dimwit callers that call up are quite hilarious too.
Every call that Dave Ramsey gets goes the same way, though. It's just like, okay, how much debt you got? All right. Now, first thing, you got an income problem. I don't know if you understand that or not, but you need to get out there and you need to be delivering pizzas and doing whatever it takes to get your income up, because
you got a
math problem here, sir. You've just got a simple math problem. You got to get out there and you got to start manufacturing toy balloon animals at parties and selling your body on the street corner. So that you can get that math problem worked out. Now, what you're going to do is you're going to take all your payments and make the minimum payments, and then you're going to make the biggest payment on the smallest one, and then you're going to snowball that up into the bigger ones until you're debt-free, and you're going to call. I mean, it's just the same call every show. I can remember the first time I heard Dave Ramsey, I thought, hey, this is pretty cool, and I kind of got into it a little bit, and then after 6 months, I just realized I can just listen to a tape loop of this shit, and it's going to be the same. So I haven't listened to that in a while. Go ahead, caller. I'm sorry.
Well, No, not a problem. But yeah, it's true. It can be quite repetitive, but at least Dave's okay to listen to, in my opinion. Better than the other Dave. In any case, number four, Glenn Beck is tied with Mark Levin. They have approximately 7 million listeners. Glenn Beck is, I mean, he sounds almost like Rush Limbaugh to me. And he has his own Blaze network now or whatever that is. It sounds like a porn network, but it's not. But
maybe it is. I've never watched it. So
my biggest gripe with Glenn Beck is, number one, the incessant crying. I'm not saying nobody should ever be emotionally overcome by something, but the things he cries about are like, my country is... Like, he cries about political observations that he's made. You know, like, our forefathers, if they saw the way that the First Amendment is being implemented, they would certainly file a writ with the Supreme Court. I mean, just like, I don't understand what it is that motivates him to cry.
I always look at him as he's the slightly more palatable version of Alex Jones.
He kind of is the right's Alex Jones, isn't he? Then again, well, Alex Jones is right too, far right.
Yeah, but they're different. They're different levels of that.
I think they're different branches of it. Like, Glenn Beck is like Alex Jones is more. Yeah, Alex Jones is more the libertarian prepper side of the right, whereas Glenn Beck is more the religious extremist side of the right. And that's the side of the right that I find any extreme politically to be annoying, but that is a really annoying political extreme, like the religious far right, religious right. I can't deal with that.
What I love about political extremes is that both sides, I mean, this is Republican, Democrat, you know, wings of each side of the extremes. If you were to just do like Mad Libs and replace the different things that they hold so closely, you can make sentences that are so close. I mean, they all want to control you based on their form of ideals, and somehow they've decided that the government is the best tool to do that. Whether you're a right-wing Republican, you're a left-wing liberal, if you're a religious right, or you're a proper libertarian, all of those, it's like a game of Mad Libs. Just go ahead and put in what major fear you want to have in it. The sentence is going to turn out the same regardless of what your far outside the norm political view is.
So, caller, who's number five, or was it Levin and Beck tied? I lost count.
They're tied at number four, Beck and Levin. They'd have number five Michael Savage, 5.25 million listeners. And actually, really George Norrie is way down the list here. They have five different people tied at number six, and George Norrie is one of them with 2.75 million listeners. So that's way down as far as numbers go.
Got it.
So go ahead.
Look what he's done to the house Art built. 2.5 per week.
Yeah, well,
Art down from 15.
Art posted in the chat room, "You guys better be careful. You might be remembering me better than I am. Time does funny things." Let's go ahead and put Art today, which would be the only real work we have currently, would be the SiriusXM. Let's place him in that list. Where do you think he would show up if he did go to terrestrial radio? Would he be in the top six?
If Art went... I don't understand the question. You're saying if Art went to terrestrial radio today...
Today, yes. And wasn't on Coast, where would he sit on that list if he had like serious backing behind it and didn't just show up, you know, overnight? Kind of like...
Are you saying if he replaced George as the host of Coast to Coast?
No, let's not have him replace.
But the thing is that the variables are so different now versus when Art built his empire, because he didn't have all of this condensation, or a better word I'm looking for. When you put a bunch of things together, come on, help me out.
Polarization, perhaps?
No.
Combining,
yes, but... What's wrong
saturation?
With me? I think
the saturation.
I'm having a stroke.
He's having a stroke.
There's a lot of market
guys.
Consolidation. All of this consolidation of radio being owned by this big company here or that big company there, that presents all of these artificial barriers to hosts appearing here or there. It just seems like today it would be so much harder to build what it is that Art built in the 90s.
Let's put him back then in the seat, like Jazz was just saying. If he were the host today, where would they be on that list?
What are you saying, though? Are you saying would Art Bell have 15 million listeners right now?
Would he be higher than six? Would he break the top five?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it just all depends. I mean, what network is Art with? What stations does this network own? I mean, look at all the stations that Clear Channel actually owns, and then they put their own, which I guess is not Clear Channel anymore, but then they put all these shows that they own on these same stations that they own, which means that people who are not a part of their network or are doing a show that is not one of their properties are not naturally going to wind up being on these stations. And that was not the case in the 90s when Art built his empire. And I think that, I don't know, it seems kind of like apples and oranges sort of to me.
The landscape is different. It's not just radio anymore. I mean, we've all got little radios and TVs and movies in our hands at the moment. Kids are growing up with, you know, there's a computer in every room, in every house, and, you know, Xboxes and PlayStations, and, you know, it's a different market out there. Radio isn't the only thing people listen to in their cars anymore.
Right.
Yeah, the one that goes back to the point that Art said about it's not just terrestrial radio anymore, it's all those things you mentioned.
Somebody in the Art Bell thread, it was Bateman, posted an article that some girl wrote where she said that the big threat to radio are all of these data connected dashboards that are going to be and are being installed in cars today. And I really just don't see that as being the immediate threat radio faces. It's these phones. I mean, because all I really want my car stereo to do is to have an aux in jack that I can run a cable into from my phone. And then all my content is on my phone. I mean, I don't really care what the car does.
Yeah, but soon your car, your screen on your car is going to sync up with your phone, you know, with that whole Apple Play, and I'm sure Android has a version as well. When you get into your car, your apps are going to appear on your dashboard.
Well, I reject that. I reject that entirely. I will not participate in this.
The other thing, and this is far thinking ahead, but with driverless cars, the more those become popular, the more free time the riders are going to have to listen to whatever they want to, watch what they want to, of course, buy things, which is the main plan for a lot of businesses out there. But that's going to open up for, and it's not going to be radio ultimately. Radio is going to lose, or terrestrial radio. But I think, again, those phones, yeah, they're going to sync up and display on your what used to be your home theater system is now going to be the stereo system in your car and navigation system, all of that.
Yeah.
Well, back in the day when Art was in his heyday, we got entertainment from about two sources. We had TV, we had radio, and of course you had your cassettes and CDs.
I would watch a lot of snuff films, but yeah, I get it.
Yeah, and we had VHS tapes. I mean, it was hi-fi, man. But now we get our entertainment from just over 1,000 different sources now. There's so many ways to get that entertainment, to take up all that free time that we have. And so, yeah, like Jazz said, that landscape is entirely different. It was easy to gravitate to the radio back in the day because at night there isn't really much on TV anyway. And you were either, you know, listening to what you had in your house, or you'd flip on the radio and see what was going on. So it was kind of easy in that landscape to build, not, you know, saying anything against Art's talent, but he says he's going to take advantage of everybody having a smartphone in their pocket with the new show, which is going to be really exciting to see.
I don't like the way you just attacked Art. I'm sorry. That's just me.
When was the last time, besides being in the car, that you actually listen to a radio, and not on your not through your phone either.
Like
an actual physical radio.
My clock,
I listen to one every morning.
Is still a clock radio.
Yeah, me too.
Even in the car, I can't remember the last time I listened to terrestrial radio.
Yeah, I use
even in the car
my phone for everything. I'd rather use TuneIn to listen to radio on my car than actually try to tune it in with the receiver.
I mean, that is really saying something. I used to be so obsessed. It's amazing I've ever had sex with a woman. I used to be absolutely obsessed with AM radio. Absolutely obsessed with it.
So was I.
And now I can't even remember the last time I turned one on.
Yeah.
I mean, that is the ultimate commentary. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you have everything at your fingertips now. I mean, there's so much choice, and I mean, whatever you want to listen to, whether it's talk radio or if you want to listen to a specific genre of music with at a push of a button, you can have it right there. And I mean, that's just totally changed the landscape. And it's going to take someone like Art Bell to get a lot of high numbers if he can do that. We'll see. I think if there's anyone that can get a big audience, I think it will be Art Bell.
Well,
let's hope he does.
I think Art's right in his philosophy that the cream will rise to the top. All you have to do is get out there, put together a great show, which we know Art's going to do, and add to that Art's name recognition, add to that all the loyal people that are going to break their necks promoting his show for him in any possible way that they can. I think we got a winner here. And I think, like, in 1 year's time from today, you're going to see that Art's got a really great thing going on.
Do you think having a community? Sorry.
Go ahead, Curtis.
So do you think him building up a community around it is going to be important also, though? You know, some kind of online community, like maybe a Bellgab kind of site to promote what he's doing, help push it forward?
Well, I think what Art ought to do is embed Bellgab on his website in an iframe and also display the Google ads. I'm Michael Van Deven.
Yeah. Well, I think also, interaction is very important nowadays. I mean, 15 years ago, would you imagine ever to have close contact Art Bell through a website?
No, I mean, or these famous always, people? I disagree. Art was always very good with getting into chat rooms at the time. I mean, you listen to any past show and he was always talking about sometimes popping into the Usenet groups or the IRC chats or whatever.
You know, you're right.
So.
You're right. But I still have this perception of Art as being incredibly private and inaccessible. I don't know why that's my perception, but I mean, reality says another story.
It's just been like that for so long. Operator,
but we also now live in the social media age, so there's that opportunity now where celebrities are engaging with their fans on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, and that's my point. I mean, you can get on Twitter and send a Twitter to these people that are famous and that were untouchable beforehand, and it's amazing what responses you will get if you if they like what you hear or they say, because, I mean, the landscape has totally changed during the last 10, 15 years, and Art's kind of embracing that. He always has, because he was one of the very first people to actually put his show on the internet. Kudos for Art, but I mean, it still is pretty amazing what type of contacts you can make, and I think that it is going to be very important that he continues to do that, and not just on Bellgab, but to a wider audience, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting to see how things pan out. I think Art is positioned. I don't think there's ever been a podcast that anybody ever started ever that was better positioned for success before it even actually came together. Not to my knowledge, at least. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air. Hello.
This is White Crow.
This is White Crow. Is this the real White Crow?
The original?
We only accept this originals here, please.
This is White Crow.
Can you say that one more time?
This is White Crow.
Well,
I'd like to hear Jasmine to say this is White Crow. I think that'd be good.
This is White Crow. I get it right.
That was perfect.
I feel sorry for Art. I feel sorry for Art.
Why? Why do you feel sorry for him?
He never gets to be a fan and listen to his own program and have that enjoyment.
Yeah, but he hates the sound of his own voice. Don't you hate the sound of your own voice? I do.
No, I don't think White Crow hates anything about his voice.
I don't think it's just the sound of his own voice, though. I think when Art hears his old shows, he feels like they're irrelevant and outdated, which I disagree. When I listen to those shows, even now, I was so depressed after the SiriusXM debacle that I hadn't listened to a single Art Bell show since then until just about 2 weeks ago. And I just randomly, it wasn't random. I thought, okay, July of 1995. Okay, I was 15 at the time. Let's just go ahead and pop this one on and see if I see if this brings back any memories. And I just couldn't believe listening to this how relevant everything that I was hearing actually was. Here we are 20 years later, and not only is it entertaining, but it's still relevant. And as has been pointed out by a lot of people, there aren't a lot of hosts out there whose old radio shows are still being listened to and traded and pirated. And 20 years later, and as someone else also said, no one is going to be doing that with Rush Limbaugh's old shows in 20 years.
Right.
And
that's what you're talking about, that experience that we all have. Like a classic for us is our family gathering around a campfire and listening to Art Bell. He never gets to experience that. We all do, but he doesn't. He provides that entertainment for us.
Oh, but I think he's got things like that for him too, though. I mean, he's got to, or something has to inspire and rejuvenate him to want to come back and even do a new show coming up. And it's those moments like that. And he said in the chat room that he's very private and armed. I think his family, he has those moments for real with them. He doesn't need to go back and listen to what happened on air. He left that there for us. Then he can go back home and be with his family and rejuvenate from that to come back and do it again, you know, the next time. But I see what you're saying too, though, is that as fans, we get so much out of these episodes. It's sad to think that he doesn't experience the same way we do, but I think that's how it goes. I look at in sports, Michael Jordan probably never enjoyed the work he put into each one of his championships as much as we enjoyed watching it. In terms of just pure watching.
Well, good show tonight, guys and girl. Good night.
Well, thank you.
Well, you're not allowed to congratulate the female host, but thank you. We do appreciate your patronage.
You're going to get so reported for that now, man.
I hate women. Anyway, the number to call if you want to be on the show, 623-242-CAST. It is 623-242-2278. And also, as mentioned earlier, we have a fax machine if you want to send a fax to us. We're more than happy to receive those. The number to call there is 206-415-4585. That is 206-415-4585. I just can't believe we have a fax machine.
That is amazing.
Good job, man. That's awesome.
Do we want to talk about what Art posted today at Bell Gab about it's not news yet, but we are putting the final touches on the contract today. So soon the mystery will be over. You want to
He posted that in the chat as well. So yeah.
Listen,
it looks like something's imminent.
You guys want to put some money on the table and like actually make this interesting. I want to know.
The last time I made a bet with you about money, Rand Paul became a senator and I had to pay you.
Well, the bet wasn't about money. It was about Rand Paul.
I know, but.
Who's on the $20 bill, Curtis? I'll take your bet right now.
Is it
Slappy Oprah? White? No. See, I win. That's not going to get it for you. I think Art Bell's going to be back on terrestrial radio.
You
don't?
I have no idea. It doesn't.
You don't have any inclination one way or the other? I mean, you're not.
I'm not prescient, so I don't know. I have no idea.
We pronounce that prescient in this country.
He made the comment the other day about the music, the 1972 music. And I think if he was with terrestrial radio, would he have that issue? Or is that an issue across the board?
Well,
podcasts?
Well, maybe he is only making mention of that issue as it pertains to the online streaming of his terrestrial radio show.
That's true.
See, Jazzmunda, I know you thought you were on the right track there.
I know.
But I just got to tell you, you might want to just sit back a little more often and just let us do this show, okay? Because I really...
Art's just said big puffy clouds.
You now, guys, let's put the money on the table. Put your money where your mouth is. I'm ready to make a big score, and I'm headed straight to the titty bar. I say Art Bell is on Cumulus in July. What do you guys say?
Yeah,
no way.
Now that he said that.
He's already said that, though, on the forum.
He has?
Yes, he said the big puffy clouds of July. I'm pretty sure he said that on the forum. You guys didn't...
Yeah, he said in the chat room, too, just big puffy clouds.
I must have missed that. I print out everything that Art says and post it onto my walls. So just let me go check.
Wait, do you have yarn attaching different spots to each other with push pins?
Yes, I do. Okay, it's a very complicated system.
it would be hilarious. It would be hilarious if the person who calls himself Art Bell in the chat room is actually redacted and she's just sitting there having a great time with us. And it has been every time, man. Just redacted, hammering away at her keyboard.
Yeah.
You know, I distrust that woman.
You get me every time I try to do something cool, bring some excitement into your life, and you just find me out and shoot me down.
So I
say, can't do anything nice for you.
Redacted, what do you think? What do you think's going to happen in July?
I think he's going to be on the internet. That's what he wanted to do. He says,
we know that.
Or at least he said before that going to terrestrial radio in any form was like stepping backwards, and that being on the internet, streaming live, that's stepping forward into the future, and he didn't want anything to do with radio. I could imagine the only reason he would is if it sort of gave him an advantage with the bumper music situation to be tied in with a big player, like somebody in radio to cover the royalty thing. But for the most part, he wanted to stream.
I think he hit the nail on the head probably there with, you know, the whole music royalties part of it, because it seemed to be cost prohibitive just going on your own on the internet.
Does King go ahead.
He wants to be part of the bet.
He does. Well,
how's that with he's not illegal. That'd be great.
He says if we make the big money big enough that he wants part of our bet.
Art, if I win, can I come out to Pahrump and just sort of creepily mow your grass and clean some window? I mean, I'm sure there's painting that needs to be done. I'm great with children. I have one of my own and another on the way. I can babysit. I know how to cook pizzas, frozen. I'm multifaceted in the talents that I bring to the table. So we have to make the bet interesting in some way.
I thought I was a big Art Bell fan. God damn, dude.
I will go to Art Bell's house and I will mow. I don't care.
He wants to give you a friendly reminder that he's armed.
Well, they say never meet your heroes. See, I just learned the hard way. That was a bit of a letdown, I have to say.
Yeah, I think you need to go with lone voice. If you win, he has to adopt you. Otherwise, you have to adopt him.
I just want to hear Art Bell's voice, like, poking his head into my bedroom in the morning to say, Michael, it's time to get up. You need to get ready. We have things to do today. That's all I want from this world, from this life.
Well, maybe he can record a ringtone for you that would do that.
There's got to be an extra bedroom in that giant compound. We've all seen the pictures.
Can you imagine being his child and you say, you know, I think the boogeyman lives in my closet, and then he sits down and tells you about, you know, the guest he had last week that explained, you know, who the boogeyman was, what alternate reality he was in.
Ah, well, let's talk about Grey Goo.
Yeah.
I don't know if you should tell kids about gray goo. That's a little frightening. Everything is going to turn into a gelatinous substance that's going to devour us all.
Oh, if that's where you start, then wow. Yeah.
Yeah. What good is a boogeyman when we have gray goo right. to contend with? You guys are familiar with the gray goo thing, right? That's where you create some sort of nanotechnology that's able to fundamentally transform any molecular structure that it comes in contact with, and it becomes a chain reaction that's not stoppable because anything you throw at the chain reaction in an effort to stop it itself becomes the gray goo, until ultimately this is just a big giant planet full of gray goo.
I thought nanoprobes turned stuff into Borg.
Well, or if you're a fan of Stargate, they're the replicators.
Redacted, we're trying to get chicks by doing this show, so if you could stop with the Star Trek references, I don't know. 623-242-CAST.
They're chicks that are interested in this podcast?
We've all seen the photos of the women of Belgab. That's to roll that out again. I'm going to have to roll that out. There's a URL that you can actually go to if you want to see the women of Belgab. I'm going to have to dig that up. Can you guys talk about something? I really would like to post the URL.
Sure. What do you guys have to talk about?
Well, that worked out really well. I'm glad I'm back already, and I've completed I wanted to do.
I'm pretty excited about our other podcast we're going to be doing here.
Yeah, have we come up with a name, a logo?
Well, that, we need to crowdsource this. So yeah. Anyone who wants to help us with a logo and blah, blah, blah.
A logo for the spec sheet?
Any of it.
Well, we do have somebody who is creating show art, episode art for the Gabcast now.
Really?
Yeah, and actually the first example of what it is that this person created, who, by the way, wishes to remain anonymous, which is totally fine. It was intended for last week's episode, but I'll go ahead and post that as the episode photo this week so that everybody can see and appreciate it at least. I mean, all the trouble that this person went through to put that together. May as well make sure that it's seen. Okay, so I want to enable everybody to see the Women of Belgab. This is, see, from time to time, Curtis and I get bored. And so what we'll do is actually hack the forum. I don't know of any other website that deliberately hacks itself. I've yet to be made aware of anything in existence where that occurs. Let's see. oh, gosh. You know what? This is what I like about the future of the Gabcast, is that when we have these moments where, because we have this predisposition toward trying to be like broadcasty. Like,
right. Like some level of professionalism.
Yeah, we can't have dead air. Oh, my. Well, really, who gives a shit? I mean, really, if you think about it. I mean, we all know what we're doing here. We all know what's happening. So, really, who cares? I just...
Do we know what's happening? What is happening right now?
I'm trying to find the Women of Belgab animation.
Well, get on it. Get cracking. Quit talking. Oh, we can talk.
I've seen this a million times. Why can I not find it now when it's important?
That's funny.
Because it's important, and that's why you can't find it. When it's not important, it's right in your face, right?
Mm. But
so did anyone listen to the George Norrie compilation that Bateman put together today?
Yes.
Curtis, do you have that available to play?
Hold on just a moment.
Okay. It's very funny.
Talk amongst yourselves.
Yeah. Now Curtis wants us to talk so that he can do something. You guys, I've got some shingles on the roof here also that need hammering. So if you could just talk.
Yeah. Any chance you could go mow my rock lawn too?
There's a really cute kid at the start that may or may not be related to me.
Oh, I you know, that's funny because I for some reason I just immediately assumed that. So here we go. Let's see if this works. Ready?
Dave Norrie sucks.
Was it controversial about his length of birth? Lindy is in Le Canada in California.
Oh my.
How'd I do? Pretty good,
pretty
huh?
Well, it's actually La Canada, but that's close enough. I don't think that's ever going to happen.
Hmm. I hope you're wrong. I'm not sure.
You hope I'm wrong?
Yeah, I hope you're very wrong that
they never come here?
That they just... No, not that part. But I just hope you're wrong about everything that has to do with ISIS. But I suspect that they might be here.
Uh-huh.
Which isn't good.
No.
Who added that this isn't good? Is that George?
Yeah. Eddie in San Francisco, welcome to the program. Hi, Eddie.
Hi, how's it going?
I'm going well, thanks.
All right. Thomas, fascinating stuff, man. I'm blown away, seriously.
It's pretty mind-boggling, I gotta tell you. One thing I have to take pains to point out is that oftentimes...
Yeah, I just wanted to ask, though, like, before you go on, have you ever been butt-fucked by a Martian?
Oh, my.
No. Not that I know of, no.
And he legitimately answers the question. I'm going to have to look back at my planner.
At all. Sometimes you get a few lunatics.
Listen.
Don't worry about that. Didn't get on, Thomas.
Well, it probably, in George's defense, it probably didn't get on the air. It probably didn't get on the air.
Yeah. I should turn off repeat.
It probably didn't get on the air, but then the idiot who put it up to the web, he forgot to take it out.
That's funny, then.
That's not the first example of that happening. There have been numerous instances of things that they intended not to get on the air and that they didn't allow on the air, but that did get on the podcast. And there was one time when it was not something profane. It was just it was something to do with messaging. Like, they just didn't like what somebody said. And so they edited it out of the live broadcast with the delay dump. But it wound up in the I wish I could remember what that's been years ago that happened. But I'm sure that it probably happens all the time. I just can't believe after as long as they've been doing this show, after as many years as it's been that they've been producing this show, they have not synchronized what it is that you hear on the air with what it is that you wind up downloading after the fact. That's amazing. Just the ineptitude.
He's just terrible at backpedaling. If he gets caught in a lie, he just can't backpedal it out of it fast enough or well enough. Do you have the Shirley MacLaine interview, Curtis?
That was posted too, wasn't it?
It was posted a few posts after that. Both of those clips are fantastic as well.
Yeah, that's George Lies and Shirley. Okay, yeah, just a moment.
He gets caught out.
Hadn't had time to listen to that.
It's an absolute gem. you have to hear it.
And by the way, the Women of Belgab is now viewable via the link that's been posted in the chat room. If you'd like to see a screenshot of the things that Curtis and I do when we randomly decide to hack the forum and make people believe it's been compromised, there you go. This is what we do when we get bored, which again is why I can't believe I'm married. Can't believe I'm still married. If you want to be on the show, the number to call is 623-242-CAST. It is 623-242-2278. We got a caller. Do you want to take the call, or are you going to play something, Curtis?
Yeah, I'll play. Go ahead. Let's take the caller. This is a minute and 3 seconds.
Well, just go ahead and play it then, because we don't know what this person's going to talk about or how long it's going to go.
All right.
I must put this into linear thinking. It wasn't like that, and that's why it's come out this way. Did you read it, George?
I've read parts of it. I didn't get the whole book yet. They sent me chapters of it. So, yeah, but at least I got some of it. That's the important thing. And it came out several months ago.
No, it didn't. It came out about 3 days ago.
they told me it was out in February.
February.
Yeah, that's what they said. They said it was in the bookstores. Somebody said that they even saw it there.
I didn't even finish it until August.
That's amazing. Well, the write-up says...
Who told you that, for goodness sake?
Yeah, it's in the write-up. But
Tommy!
It just came out. First publication date was Tuesday.
No wonder I don't have the full book yet. You have to get that to me.
Dave. The next clip is 6 minutes. I don't know if we want to play that whole thing. Maybe go to belgab.com and to the RBell thread to find that one. But I'm really interested in it. It's
mostly just Shirley MacLaine hacking her lungs out. George just not knowing what to do.
That's why I want to hear that one. But maybe that doesn't make for good radio the first time or this time.
Well, let's go ahead and go to the phones. Hi, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, this is Pale Horse.
Hi, you called. Good.
How's it going?
Hello, sir.
Yeah, first part of the show, I was barely listening. I was in my car. I had nothing available but my fax machine, so that's all I could do was send in a fax to defend myself.
Well, you sound verbally normal, I have to tell you.
Point?
Well, Pale I heard Horse. That I would be judged harshly based on how I sounded on the Gabcast.
We judge people based on what religion they are. We have methods of finding that information about callers, but yes. But
not really on their conspiratorial views at all.
So you and I have gone around and around on the forum, and I'm sure the reason you're calling right now is so that we can have our big 9/11 discussion, which I have exactly...
God, I hope not.
I have exactly 17 minutes in order to pull this discussion off, but you believe that 9/11 was an inside job, or do you just believe...
Go ahead.
You believe that 9/11 was an inside job, or is it that you believe the government just simply turned a blind eye, or what exactly is it that you believe?
I would say that I used to believe that the shadow government, you know, the insiders in the military industrial complex that sort of transcend both parties and transcend the different traditions of office probably were involved. But, you know, I don't really know. I have no answers. You know, I think what I really wanted to know was why on an Art Bell fan forum you couldn't even have that discussion without being shouted down.
Who's shouting you down? The only thing you can ask or request of others is that your posts not be deleted, that you not be censored. But I think if you're asking for anything beyond that, I don't think you're being reasonable.
All of my posts. I actually went the opposite direction and requested with money involved to have you delete all my posts and end my involvement in that discussion.
Well, I will tell you that
you wanted me to be in that discussion.
I
wanted to have a discussion.
I didn't know you existed until you stepped into the discussion. How can you say what I wanted you to do? Secondly, you know how many people over the course of the last, 7 years have requested their posts deleted whenever they got butthurt about something? You know how many thousands of posts would probably have been deleted? If that were...
There's your moneymaker right there. You can charge people to...
I'm such a son of a bitch because I make money off the forum. Oh, my God. What a horrible human being.
Oh, man. I never said that. Make all the money you deserve. I have no problem with that. I appreciate your forum. I appreciate your podcast. I appreciate the Gabcast. I love it. It's great. I needed an outlet for, my shouting in the dark, and it was perfect for it.
Well,
I just didn't expect that there wouldn't be more people who were like, yeah, holy shit, what about that? What about this? It was like 10 years ago that I was really into it, and I was really open to, like, hearing some new information that would change mind. I really was, but I didn't appreciate the tone of the way the whole thing gets communicated. I was just naive and stupid.
Well,
but now
I'm
starting to learn the language of Bell Gap.
Now, are we going to have a conversation, or are you going to just filibuster for the next 15 minutes? If we're going to talk about tone, does part of that include you starting out the conversation by calling somebody an asshole? Is that what we're talking about when we refer to tone?
Did I call you an asshole?
No, not me. I think it was Yorkshire Pud that you called an asshole.
Oh, my God, that poster is so annoying.
Well, maybe he is, but, I mean, if we're going to talk about tone, I mean, I don't know what tone even means. I'm just responding to things on a forum that I don't agree with. You're free to do the same. Well, I can't make any promises about how many people are going to agree with you. All I can promise is that you'll have the ability to freely express yourself, which you've never been denied.
No, MV, my problem with you personally was when I was just cruising around the forum, minding my own business, and I see this new... thread started by you that says the official 911 Bell Gab thread. I'm thinking, holy shit, and it's got no posts on it. I'm going to get in on that. That's fucking fun. I used to know a whole shitload about this.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, you posted something along the lines of, like, somebody tell me one fact, one conspiracy fact that holds under scrutiny. You know, I'm thinking, what? You don't even know one anomaly? Fuck. You know, and I figured there would be, like, lots of people interested in that discussion, but I guess it's been beat to death, and Otis and Anthony and Jim Otis Norton and have Anthony. Had their say.
You're under the impression that prior to my encounter with you, I wasn't aware of any aspect of what 9/11 truthers believe?
No.
I mean, are we going to have a discussion of circular logic here?
I listen to you, I don't know, during the beginning few of them, okay, a friend of mine turned me on, say, hey, let's listen to this, Bunny, we'll have some fun, and you said anyone who believes these conspiracy theories is an idiot, and I said, well, kind of Art Bell fan doesn't, you know, at least give benefit of the doubt to people.
Well, okay, I will apologize for using the word idiot to describe anybody who considers themselves a 9/11 truther. Perhaps that's not the most productive language to use. But if you're going to get that hung up on a word, buddy, I mean, what can I tell you? You're going to have to grow some thicker skin, grow a pair, because you're stepping onto a message board where people are going to say to you what it is they want to say to you, and they may not always be friendly in the way they do it. And yes, I do find it offensive that there are people who believe that our government actually orchestrated 9/11. So, yes, I apologize. I apologize to you for being offended at something. Yes, I find it offensive.
I don't think they're clever enough to pull it off.
Yeah, you would have to show me like a real world example
where they have done things like that.
Here's the thing.
Wait a minute. He's bringing up a good point. Pale Horse is asking, do we not believe that the government is capable of evil?
And yes,
we have to say that we've seen them do some questionable things.
Look at TWA Flight 800. I told you on the forum, it's not that I'm completely averse to the notion of government evil or conspiracy or things not exactly being on the surface what they're announced on the surface to be. My point is that I just think on 9/11 you guys are missing the mark, because I think there are logical holes that can be punched in just about everything that you guys profess to believe, from the molten steel to the missile hitting the Pentagon to the people on the plane that crashed into Pennsylvania and into the field. Just there's such gaping logical holes that can be punched in everything. Forget even the science, that it makes no sense. I mean, one of the things you mentioned on the forum, and all of our use of language and my unfortunate use of the word idiot aside, let's get down to brass tacks. You think that a missile hit the Pentagon to destroy financial records?
Okay, that's great. I love to get down to brass tacks. I do think a passenger plane did not hit the Pentagon. That the evidence seems to suggest that. And if a plane did hit the Pentagon, just show us the video. It would shut up all of us idiot conspiracy theorists. We would nothing to say if they showed us the angles of a plane hitting the Pentagon, which they certainly have. I mean, there was cameras all over the outside of that building and across the street at the hotel and the gas station, where both those corporations said that their security tapes were confiscated. So there are videos of the plane hitting the Pentagon. Why?
I don't know. I earlier in the show, I pointed out the fact that I find it to be a complete tragedy, completely incomprehensibly stupid, that the government has not released all of this video that has to exist of this plane hitting the Pentagon. But okay.
So they're fueling the fire instead of quieting down the, you know, orbit. Another example of that incident, why did this guy do a huge 270-degree barrel turn in order to hit a side of the Pentagon that was mostly empty? Now, I'm not saying
it was early in the morning.
Who did it or what happened, but it's a coincidence. It's a very interesting coincidence that the plane hit an almost empty side of the Pentagon, where they were keeping their financial records.
Okay, but applying logic to the situation, if we follow the premise of what it is that you're saying, which is that the financial records being housed in that part of the Pentagon could be a motivator to crash a plane or fly a missile into the building, wouldn't you want to also take out the accountants, screw a bunch of pieces of paper? A, has anybody ever heard of a shredder? B, has anybody ever heard of an incinerator? C, if you've got all this evidence after having just announced the day before about a couple $1 trillion missing at the Pentagon, why do you dispose of the evidence by flying a foreign object into the hub of your military industrial complex, blasting papers into the air everywhere, creating a giant crime scene with news media everywhere, snooping around, first responders, firemen, police snooping around. It makes no sense.
Dude,
there are a thousand other ways to cover something like that up.
The investigation stopped, man. You know, look, the guy could have flown the plane directly into the center of the Pentagon. He could have just taken the nose of the plane and gone into the center of it and, you know, gone closer to where the top brass work. You know, but the plane did this huge, unusual 270-degree bull turn that's very difficult to execute, according to pilots, and then left mark on the building that didn't resemble that size passenger plane. And went
didn't the plane break up?
Concrete. What's that?
I thought the plane broke up, but it wasn't a complete. It wasn't a plane that was intact.
Benefited. Did the military benefit from that incident? Did
okay,
they? So, and the fact that the investigation into the missing halted. That was my
really
only
quick.
Point. My only point is to bring up curiosities.
So and earlier we were talking about can the government do bad?
Mm-hmm.
We were talking earlier, can the government do bad? And the answer is yes, it can. And I also think the government, anytime they can find something to use to their advantage, they will, even a tragedy. So the government doesn't necessarily have to create the conspiracy to cause the tragedy, but the moment that it happens, they're going to capitalize on everything they can, first off, to rectify the situation from a security point of view, but also, too, to bring about new things that work out to their advantage. And I would love to see all of the people who are... Sorry, say that again.
Just finish your thought, Curtis. You guys, we're going to have to let each other finish thoughts here. This doesn't work. Go ahead.
Okay, the last point I'll make, and then I'll open the floor back up to you guys to talk, is that I wish the people who are 9/11 truthers would focus more on what I think is a legitimate conspiracy of what did we do after 9/11? Where did our military go? What did they do? What was the purpose that was served with the actions that the politicians pushed them to after all of this happened, more than what happened on that day? Right. That day, random things happened.
The redacted pages in the commission report, things like that. Yeah, what did we do? Who did we go after?
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
Pale Horse?
Oh, well, you know, there's no doubt that the military benefited from the event, and there is some suspicion that they had some foreknowledge. Several major generals and other big brass in the military stopped flying on commercial flights in the weeks prior to 9/11 because they have been hearing a lot of flack about potential, you know, threats to commercial airliners. So whether or not they knew precisely what was going to happen and they didn't want anyone in their, you know, inner circle or family to be a casualty of this seemingly, you know, perfectly timed event for exactly what the Bush administration wanted and for what they wanted to accomplish, almost timed exactly. In their position papers, they said they were going to need a new Pearl Harbor in order to accomplish their goals. And the day of the events, there's people on TV going, it's like a new Pearl Harbor. You know,
that's because it's the only thing they could.
I don't really
want to talk about it.
I can't really account for what plane flights were or were not taken around 9/11. I don't know what the level of truth is to that. I haven't looked into that. I'm not sure really what
are you
I would.
Curious?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not really sure what I would conclude from it if I learned that some generals had information that there was a threat. Well, maybe, okay, it seems like if there was information about a threat, holy shit, that turned out to be pretty accurate, didn't it? What does
yeah,
it mean?
No doubt.
What does
no
it
doubt.
Mean?
What does it mean?
I don't know. You tell me.
They
you're
know it.
You're the one making
questions.
The assertions. You have to answer those questions.
Look, there's millions of people across the planet who would like to see a second investigation happen, one that wasn't guided by the potential perpetrators. You know, that is what a lot of the family members of the 9/11 victims have called for, what a lot of researchers in this country and other countries with college degrees and the ability to articulate words, and they aren't Alex fucking Jones. I mean, people take this event seriously because they feel like it has fueled the global war on terror that's not scheduled to end forever.
But that has nothing to do with what actually happened on 9/11. Again, that was taking advantage of a tragedy.
Man, it would have been so easy if the government, if the military-industrial complex wanted its big fat war, all it needed to do as a result of a UN resolution that gave us the right to conduct weapons inspections in Iraq. The UN weapons inspectors were kicked out of Iraq in October of 1998. From that point forward...
Why do you buy the state propaganda line? Why? Because
I'm a sheep. So once that happened, Saddam was in violation of that UN resolution. There's your reason to tell the American public you need to go to war. Or they could easily, if the government is so profoundly adept at scandals and scamming people and setting all of this stuff up to fool all of us, why didn't they just go over to Iraq and drop some chemical weapons on Saddam's people and say, look what Saddam just did. There's your war. We go in. We had the USS Cole. Wasn't that supposedly the work of Osama bin Laden? If that's not a cause to go to war in Afghanistan for harboring this guy that killed a whole bunch of our sailors and blew up one of our ships, I think in, what, 95? 93?
Are you aware that, you know, most of the hijackers were Saudi Arabian and not Afghanistani or you know, from Iraq.
I'm not speaking to, I'm not speaking to the nationality of the people who hijacked the planes. I'm talking about the military industrial complex and its desire to go to war and make the money that it makes as a result of doing so could easily have been achieved without all of the
Hey, man,
we're gonna have to not step on each other. It doesn't really work. That could easily have been achieved without having to hope that you properly hit the Pentagon with the plane or missile that you fly into it. Hope that you properly fly the planes into the World Trade Center towers. Hope that you properly, and look what, I mean, the plane that crashed in Pennsylvania, I mean, that's a great example right there of how stupid this plan would be. I mean, there you've got an unforeseen event. Oh, we thought we were going to crash the plane into the state into the Capitol in D.C. Oh, well, it got blown out of the sky. Ah, shit, our plan's not working out. There are just so many variables, so many complexities to make all of that work. And I know that fundamentally what you and people who are of your line of thought believe is that the military-industrial complex wants to go to war. You just said it a moment ago. It needs its Pearl Harbor event. And I contend that this all could have been achieved with far less expense, far less complexity. And, I mean, just go drop chemical weapons on Saddam's people.
You'll have your
CNN news footage in 10 minutes, and we'll be over there in
no
time flat.
You're too young to remember the Cold War, where we were almost, you know, I grew up in the 80s where they taught us to hide under our desk and the Ruskies were going to bomb us into nuclear oblivion at any second during any time. And we needed to put aside our differences and our selfish needs and support the president because the Ruskies are going to bomb us and we're going to die. You know, and when the Cold War ended and they tore down the wall, George Bush Sr., you know, CIA director turned vice president turned president, told us we'd be experiencing what they called the peace dividend, where we no longer have to spend $400 billion a year every fucking year on weapons.
Aren't we in the cyber war now? Where
now we're up to, you know, fuck it, let's go up to $50 trillion in debt. Who cares, right? It's all phony money anyways.
Well,
but I'm bouncing around, you know. This is a good discussion. Thank you. I wasn't lying when I said I wanted somebody to talk me out of my position, because I really wasn't kidding. Help me debunk myself.
It must be a really miserable thing to walk around believing your own government blew up the World Trade Center and crashed a missile into the Pentagon.
No, it's not good feeling to think that at all. No,
it's even worse feeling to feel like you're alone and that you're foolish to think that. You're not alone and you're not foolish. There's tens of thousands of hundreds of thousands of other thinking people who feel the same way as you. And it's okay to question it. And it's okay to wonder about it. And it's okay to be made fun of for it. It's just fine. But to sit there and say we shouldn't talk about it is...
You and Jesse Ventura sound like clones in certain ways. Every time I hear Jesse Ventura get called on something he said, all I'm doing is asking questions. Why can't we ask questions? No one's telling anyone. Jesse Ventura will go on a radio show that he's been invited onto to speak and then complain that he can't speak. No one's told anyone not to talk about this.
No, it's the reaction of bell gabbers. I thought that bell gabbers would be a more open-minded group. And what I feel like is there's a bit of self-censorship going on, where people are afraid to stick their neck out in a public forum and say, yeah, I kind of wonder about that too.
Well, that may be true. I don't know.
Well, okay, but I want to back him up here because that bell gabber was me. I said that. I said I should have come on there and said my thoughts on the situation because I'm not a 9/11 expert either, but I look at it from all sides and from, the government did it side to, no, it was just an accident that happened, a horrible tragedy, and neither side makes sense to me, and it just doesn't sit well with me. And I did admit that to him, that I was afraid to come out and openly say that because I feared the ridicule that may follow or how people might think of me on the forum after that if I admitted to something like that. So that bell gabber was me, and I'm sorry. Post my ideas all the time and take the heat.
I'm a little disappointed.
The thing is that you're not trying to push any, and what you just said is perfectly fine. And I'm open to anyone having whatever point of view they want, because I love to hear the discussion and get involved when I can. but you're not presenting any facts on what you just said, redacted. You're just saying you don't know what happened. It doesn't have a simple explanation, and you're open to the conspiracy side of it or the truth of it being just a horrible circumstance.
Well, and here's the thing. That's the other reason why I didn't join that conversation, though I have strong feelings about it, because I don't have any facts to bring to the table. So that was kind of another reason why I stayed out. Unless a person has facts to bring to the table, then keep your stupid mouth shut. So I kind of did.
Well, that's what I'm looking for in all of this is, what are the new facts on either side of it? To me, I haven't heard anything from the 9/11 truth side that can be proven. It feels a lot to me, not to belittle it, but that it's like the climate gate conversation. There's so many things that get thrown around as fact and not as fact, you know, that people can knock either way, that I don't know for sure what is happening. I like to pose
as somebody who can change their mind. Like, okay, you know, I really strongly feel this way, but I'm open to hearing some well thought out positions on the other side, you know, and I do have strong opinions about things, but I want to be able to talk about them without feeling, you know, like I'm supposed to listen to people's paranormal stories, but they don't want to hear about my 9/11 conspiracy. Well, I don't know.
You shouldn't care. I can't account for what people want to hear from you. I can't account for how many people come back in and agree with you. I mean, I can't really account for that. All I can do is promise you that you won't be censored because of your opinion. And anything more than that that you may want from me, I don't think is reasonable. And I can't account for it anyway.
You are the champion of America, then. You are making sure the terrorists do not win. I mean that. Not kidding, MV. You know. But nobody's going to have a conversation with you if they feel like they're going to be ridiculed. Share their story of their paranormal experience if they feel like people are just going to ridicule them.
I mean, like, I don't really know. That's such a crazy question for somebody to ask you. Where's your proof? What a nutcase. What an asshole someone has to be to ask you that. My God. I mean, look.
Well, no, and then not have the person want to listen to the proof. That's the other thing. They say, where's your proof? And then you try to, you know, articulate some proof or share some ideas, and they're not interested in the proof. They're just interested in saying you don't know anything.
Did you watch any of the videos that I submitted for your perusal? Yeah. Did you look at any of the links? Because I never got the impression that you did. Every time I would respond to you, you would simply move to a different facet of the 9/11 conspiracy or ask new questions.
I thought there would be other people jumping in to help articulate the conspiracy points that I was remembering. So I had to go back and watch all those things that I watched 10 years ago that had me believing what I already believed. So, you know, I was literally 10 years separated from being a miserable 9/11 truther handing out DVDs on the Venice boardwalk. I'm not fucking kidding. That's what I was doing. And that's how concerned I was for our future, that people wouldn't be able to post what they wanted on BellGab forums. Or they'd be too afraid to. But anyways,
I will concede something to you. Perhaps there is a cultural problem on the forum if people feel as though they aren't allowed to post certain viewpoints. I mean, I'm not really sure what it is that's occurred in the course of running the forum over these 7 years that would lead people to feel that way, but I mean, I can't really account for how many people come in and back you up on a particular viewpoint. I don't really know.
I'm not asking you to. I'm just telling you my experience of trying to talk about the 9/11 conspiracy. And I don't want art to be infected with the idea that this conspiracy's already been solved and no one wants to talk about it. And anybody who does want to talk about it is a fucking idiot or a self-interested person.
I don't think
have you ever heard Art talk to somebody who has the same point of view as you?
I have.
Yeah, and somebody who's a scientist or somebody, you know, who can articulate it, who studies it.
He's not interested in that conversation.
Or even things. What?
Art's not interested in having that conversation. That's happened time and time again.
Art's had a 9/11 truther on his show.
But what about a vaxxer, an anti-vaxxer? There's another one where no one is allowed to talk about the fact. Yeah. It's a fact that there is a vaccine compensation court. It exists. That kids do get injured from vaccines. It happens.
And it's a fact,
and it has to be talked about. You know, in Italy and in most other countries, there is vaccine compensation court.
Okay, so, do you know why vaccine compensation court exists? I'm not even going to get into that. I'm not even going to...
Sure. It's for the very bizarre, low percentage of kids.
All right.
You don't vaccinate your kids, but keep your kids the fuck away from my kids.
Well, if your kids are vaccinated, it won't matter that his aren't anyway.
No, but I have a six-month-year-old daughter who isn't old enough to receive all the vaccinations, and she can get infected by people like that's kids. So, no.
Yeah, I'd
vaccinated.
I would look at all the. I mean, polio, scarlet rubella. Help me out. I mean, just the.
Why is it we have proceeded as far as we have in pharmaceuticals to the point to where we actually can, you know, fight against these things, and now we're going to pretend like it didn't happen.
Yeah. It just seems to me there are a lot of diseases we don't deal with anymore, and I don't think it's because we all got together and sang songs and, you know, made nice. It's because of vaccines, isn't it?
Dale Horst just posted in the chat room, so much for your free speech award. No, we had the conversation you came on.
You really are just a drama queen, man. How long were you on the show? We asked you, okay, let's just keep it in one area. But no, you just insist on moving on to vaccines. I really don't think it's good radio to sit and listen to you complain that parents are vaccinating their kids. No, I don't think it's good radio.
Am I wrong about Art's opinion on 9/11?
No, he said that several times.
I think Art would be willing. I can't believe he just flat out wouldn't have a show.
When he's had callers on open lines, I'm pretty sure he wasn't rude to them, but also made the point that this is not, no, he's not going to give any time to it. And I want to point out.
It could be a great thing, though, because the number of people who would be listening and be able to debunk some of the things these people are saying.
Well, and that's a conversation I would love to hear. I want to hear both sides of the smart people going at it. You know, help me figure it out, for Christ's sake. I don't even know. I can't have an opinion because I don't have enough information.
Well, I think that's it.
I think the big key to all of it, from my point of view, like I said, is I would much rather all this effort not be focused on that single day, but what that day represented after the fact and everything we did. Let's figure that out, you know?
I think it's pretty important what happened on that day.
The day is important, but I don't think we are going to solve it before we can solve the mistakes we made after that day happened.
Yeah, that was fun. Hold on, we got a call coming in. You're back on the air. You got about 30 seconds. Hello? Okay, guess not. That's it. This is the Gabcast. And I guess we'll see everybody in about 2 weeks' time, and it's going to be a far different show when it does come your way. As we said, we're not going to be posting the podcast recordings of the show anymore unless there's something special about a particular episode. It's going to be vastly more informal, and I don't even think I'll play intro and outro music. We'll just start talking to one another.
And we won't wear pants.
Well, who said anybody already was? I wasn't at that meeting. I thought this was a pants-free zone.
It is for me.
Okay. Well, that's it. It's the Gabcast. You guys have a good night. I hope you had fun doing the show tonight.
Yeah. It was good. Thanks.
Oh, yeah.
Jasmund, are you okay there?
Yeah, I'm just looking for my monkey noises button.
Oh, okay. Well, let us know when that works out for you. See you guys.